Blog Talk Radio. On Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Edie Summers, and I am so excited to have today as my guest, Caitlin Boyle. Caitlin is just doing so many amazing projects, Operation Beautiful. She has a blog, The Healthy Tipping Point, and she was also just part of the recent experiment Naked Faith Project, some of you may have been hearing about. She's a volunteer for Girls on the Run. Caitlin is just doing, again, like I said, so many amazing things. So I can't wait to talk to her and hear all about her amazing projects and her books that are coming out. Caitlin Boyle discovered purpose through battling negative self-talk. Tired of hearing her own inner voice telling her she wasn't good enough, blogger Caitlin scribbled, "You are beautiful," on a post-it, stuck it on the mirror of a public bathroom, took a picture, and posted the photo on her blog. With that action, the Operation Beautiful blog and movement was born. The mission of Operation Beautiful is to post anonymous messages in public places to encourage others with phrases like, "You are good enough the way you are," or "You're strong and awesome." Tens of thousands of Operation Beautiful notes have been posted all over the world in many different languages by people of all ages. Caitlin and Operation Beautiful have been featured on the Today Show, on the OWN Network, and in magazines such as Glamour, Fitness, and Self. Caitlin was also chosen by Yahoo as one of the top 10 inspiring stories of 2010. Additionally, Caitlin runs Healthy Tipping Point, a food and fitness blog that encourages others to redefine true health and happiness. She loves to compete in triathlons and road races, but is currently on race hiatus as she is expecting her first child in June, and her blogs are visited more than 1 million times each month. Caitlin is the author of 3 books, including Operation Beautiful, Transforming the Way You See Yourself, One Post-it Note at a Time. Her second and third books, Healthy Tipping Point, A Powerful Program for a Stronger, Happier You, and Operation Beautiful for Best Friends, will be released this May and December, respectively. She also gives motivational presentations about Operation Beautiful to colleges and high schools across the country, speaking at approximately 40 venues in the last 2 years. Caitlin's blog is healthytippingpoint.com, and the program that she volunteers for is called Girls on the Run, and it is a nonprofit prevention program that encourages preteen girls to develop self-respect and healthy lifestyles through running. So, again, that is just so many amazing things going on. Caitlin, thank you so much for being here. Welcome. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Hi, Caitlin. Well, we have so much ground to cover here. And first of all, I just wanted to talk about your blog, Healthy Tipping Point, because is that where everything started, or was it with the post-it note that you then placed?
No, everything started on Healthy Tipping Point. I was working at a job that I was really feeling unfulfilled by, and it didn't really tap into my passions. So I decided to start a blog in my free time just to have something fun to do. And a side bonus of that was I had just moved to Florida, and I was working from home, and my husband was in graduate school, and I didn't really know a lot of people or have a way to meet a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So blogging really became both a creative and social outlet for me. Mm-hmm. And I made some really great friends through blogging, and eventually it became my career, which was very mm-hmm. it was surprising more so to me than anybody else. And, it's been really fun. I started blogging in 2008. So coming up on my 4-year anniversary of blogging, and, you know, it's funny because I have a job that my grandpa just doesn't even understand. What is a blog anyway?
Yeah, it's such a funny name.
Yeah, the Healthy Tipping Point is really just about my life and sharing recipes and food ideas and exercise tips and just really talking about, you know, what health really is and what it means to me and how we can find balance in our lives.
And I just want to paint a picture for anyone who hasn't visited your blog yet. It just has the most welcoming atmosphere, and it's just so vibrant. You've got all these, first of all, wonderful pictures. Do you take those pictures yourself? I've been wondering that.
Yeah, I take all my own pictures, and I just, if you look back in my archives, you'll see that I was, you know, shooting with this, you know, really crap camera, and I really love photography. It's a really fun thing to do, and I mean, I'm certainly not an amazing photographer, but it is really fun to take pictures, and I love to share that part of my life too with people is the photography.
I actually think you're pretty good at photography, just for my non-professional eye here. And that's just, you know, you also just have so many, I love the way you take pictures of all the food that you've eaten, you know, and you make food look so good. And, you know, vegetarian food in particular. I'm just noticing here, you were just talking about, you just discovered, cause you don't eat gluten. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you were just talking about, you just discovered Amy's Pizza, their rice pizzas, which I happen to love.
Have you had
too.
Them before?
Oh, I love
them. Delicious.
Yes, they're a godsend. I know what you're talking about, because I went through a period of time, too. I was like, oh, I guess pizza's out, and then now it's back. So.
It was just so funny, because my husband he tries to avoid dairy, and he's also vegetarian. And I avoid gluten. So that means pretty much that pizza is out for us as a couple, because they make, they make dairy-free pizza and they make gluten-free pizza, but we had never found a dairy and gluten-free pizza. And we would always stand in the pizza aisle and stare, you know, all sad at the case and be like, why don't they make this? Like, we can't be the only people out there. And we found it last weekend, and we were so excited. And we threw a bunch in our cart, and it was rather tasty. You know,
it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Amy's does a good job of. They're pretty consistent with how their food tastes, and I love that you focus on food and also fitness in your blog, and just sort of bring them, you make them seem so vibrant, and they come to life in your blog, and I think, isn't that kind of what your message is with Healthy Tipping Point is, I know you have a few messages with it, but I'm wondering if you could share us, what does that mean, Healthy Tipping Point, and could you kind of maybe paint a picture for us of what that looks like?
Yeah, I think, going back 5 or 6 years ago, I think I was probably like most Americans in that, or most people, I guess, in that I really felt like healthy eating and exercise was a chore. You know, it was something you like had to do, like brushing your teeth, or it was something that was like a punishment, you know what I mean? Like, I eat all this cake, now I have to go to the gym. Or spring break is just around the corner. I have to go to the gym. And it was never a source of like pleasure or fun. I just couldn't understand how people thought it was fun to sweat, or spend time in the kitchen. You know, I really did not get it at all. And, you know, as a result, I was really, really, unhealthy, both physically and mentally. You know, I think mentally and emotionally more than anything, I engaged in something called fat talk a lot, which is when you talk negatively about yourself and about your appearance. And, you know, I was always putting myself down. I was always looking on the negative side of things. And, you know, I was the kind of woman who would complain about how she, you know, I hate my body, and then I would eat like a carton of ice cream to make myself feel better. Self-destructive behaviors, very negative behaviors, you know, smoking and drinking too much and things like that. And one day, my best friend, Lauren, she kind of sat me down and she said very bluntly, she said, you know, Caitlin, you need to get your shoes together. she's very blunt, and blunt works with me, you know. And she said, you need to get your stuff together. You know, she pointed out how much of my behaviors was contradictory. And it was really eye-opening to have a friend say those things to me. Mm-hmm. And you know, I said to her, you know, I want to be happy and I want to be healthy. I just, like, don't know how to do it, really.
Mm-hmm.
And she invited me to go on a run with her because she was training for a marathon at the time. And she was like, come on a run with me. It's really fun. You know, it's a great way to, like, relieve all this stress, because so much of my negative behavior was poor coping mechanisms. You know, when I was stressed or unhappy, I would engage in these negative habits.
Right.
And she said, you know, come on a run with me. It's really fun. It's a great way to get rid of all this negative energy. And I was like, okay, yeah, like, I can do this. Like, I can run. So I start running with her, and I remember that I made it, like, a quarter of a mile, and I'm, like, you know, dry heaving on the sidewalk, and
we've all been there, too.
Like, yes, we've all been there, and, you know, this is really hard. But the thing was is even though it was really hard, I didn't want to quit. And I wanted, something inside me was excited by the fact that something was really hard. And I looked at my friend Lauren and I thought, you know, if Lauren can do it, like, why can't I? You know, it's not like she is this, like, Olympic runner. You know, she's a normal everyday person who's training for a marathon. Like, if she can do this, so can I. And I got really into running. And I'm not fast, you know, at all. And but I really got into it and really enjoyed it too, and it was a great form of stress release for me. And kind of when I started running, I cleaned up my diet and I cleaned up a lot of my actions, because as anybody who does exercise knows, that it's a lot harder if you're going to go out the night before and drink 3 glasses of wine and eat really bad food, you know, to wake up the next morning and run.
Yeah.
it kind of created like a waterfall effect of positivity in my life, and I really started to understand that, you know, after, I think so many women especially really seem to equate physical appearance in terms of skinniness to health, and it really, becoming interested in running and becoming interested in eating whole foods instead of gimmicky diet foods, it really started to form the concept for me that, you know, health is really holistic, and it really is about mental and emotional and physical health. And you can't really have one without the other. It's very hard to have one without the other. And that's, you know, the healthy tipping point is the moment when you kind of realize that. And being healthy stops being such a chore, and you kind of realize that you don't have to do these crazy diets or these crazy workout plans. It's really just about, like, making small efforts in your everyday life. And all those things can add up and tip you over to a point of really true holistic health.
Caitlin, I have chills, and there are so many wonderful points that you made there. I'm hoping that we can maybe talk a little bit deeper about some of these, because I just think that this is an incredible message. And I love the way that you painted that picture for us of what the healthy tipping point is. It's actually, it makes more sense to me now. I was thinking that I understood what it was, but now it makes more sense. You're talking about, if I'm understanding you correctly, that it's health isn't just physical. It's physical, mental, and emotional, and maybe even spiritual. Is that what you mean by a healthy tipping point?
Yeah, definitely. I think that I think that's one of the things that we do, especially when we're talking to kids and teenagers and stuff about health. I think that's one of the things we do a disservice when we talk to them about health. You know, we say health is the food pyramid and exercising 5 times a week for 30 minutes a day. And that's true. I mean, that is healthy.
Yeah.
But you know, it's so empowering to make the decision to take care of yourself emotionally and mentally.
Yes.
And that has a huge effect on your ability to take care of yourself physically. And I think we really underestimate how these things are related in our lives. And we don't really give it as much credit as we should.
Mm-hmm. And that's, we were talking about this a little bit earlier, that that's really like the message of your book that's mm-hmm. coming out, is that it's that connection, that relation, that relationship between your image, like your healthy self-image, how you feel about yourself, how you treat yourself, and your lifestyle, or can you explain that connection?
So the Healthy Tipping Point book is coming out on May 1st. I'm very excited for its release, and this is the big topic of the book, is talking about this connection between, you know, mental and physical health. And I think what I've experienced in my life, and what I've experienced from what I've seen from interviewing so many people about this, is that it's a whole lot easier to make healthy choices when you view yourself in a positive light. And I think that a lot of us kind of operate under a system of thinking that you should negatively motivate yourself into doing these things. And that's kind of what I was talking about before. You know, a lot of us think that, like, exercise is a punishment. And then if we're good, we get to, like, skip it. Yay! Like, if we're good, we get to eat, like, all this chocolate cake and ice cream. Yay! And that, when you think like that, it really frames it in your mind that exercise is, like, a thing that's good for you but is really annoying, and eating healthy is a thing that's good for you but is also really annoying and yucky and not fun. And there's plenty of other cultures in the world, especially, you know, when you look at the way they raise children, like the French are really into this. You know, the French raise their children to believe that food is something to be celebrated and enjoyed shared, and it's not something to be ashamed of or to binge over or to restrict. You know, they just take a completely different attitude towards, you know, food at all. And it's very interesting to think about how your attitude about these things can really shape your ability to enact your goals.
And also, I think this is such an important issue for women in particular, and also kids, young kids, and, you know, people that are growing up with, I think we've been trying to change this mindset, because we're talking about a mindset here, really. This is something that we've been trying to figure out how to change for a really long time now. And I think that this has really been such a sad point for women, I think, because women are so amazing and so wonderful and so beautiful, and we're really the full spectrum of life, if you really think about it. The way that women, you know, it's like feminine energy sort of runs the entire spectrum. And I think this is where a lot of us have felt like there's this kind of assault on our body image, so to speak, because it focuses on just one part of ourselves. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, there's so much obsession with physical perfection in our culture, and it's no wonder, you know, first of all, that a lot of women have rebelled against that or had trouble with it in whatever capacity, on whatever level. But it's also, I think, the opposite of what I hear you saying, is that, you know, when we talk about, there's a phrase that I've been talking about lately, it's called self-care. And I think that's, have you heard of that?
Yes, love that phrase.
Self-care, I think this is going to be, I think, part of the, you know, also along with sort of looking at ourselves in a positive light and working on our emotional and mental health at the same time. It does create that shift and that healthy tipping point that you're talking about, and it's I think women will really relate to this idea of self-care, where it's a joy to take care of yourself. It's, you know, nurturing yourself as opposed to punishing yourself or getting down on yourself for whatever you have or haven't done.
And I think you hit the nail on the head when you talked about how it's almost like it's disembodying to only think about yourself. In one way, I think that our society really encourages, particularly women, but men too, to see themselves, their primary asset or their primary downfall, is their physical appearance. It's very disembodying. We all know that people are more than that. Inherently we know that people are more than that. You know, if you ask anybody on the street, who is the most beautiful woman you know? They will say, my grandma, my mom, my wife. Mm-hmm. And it's not because of what she looks like, you know, at all. Mm-hmm. And we all know these things. But the messaging in our society is just so strong and so overwhelming that it can be really hard to apply it to yourself. It's a lot easier to apply that belief to other people than applying it to yourself.
And isn't really that, and see, to me it sounds like that's what your whole mission and messages are about, is making this a reality, like applying this new mindset and making it a reality, and doing it in a way, again, when I talk about your blog, it's just so vibrant, you know, and I think that's a beautiful way of looking at health and, you know, self-nurturing and sort of taking care of ourselves because it feels good. Because you were talking earlier about, food and fitness being a chore, and instead of it being something that's pleasurable or full of joy, and it strikes me that is part of what the tipping point is changing that mindset. And there are so many other points that you made, and I wish I could bring them all up again. But this kind of almost leads into you were writing your blog, Healthy Tipping Point, and then you wrote that post-it to yourself.
Right. Yeah, I was. I think one of the things that we all have to be aware of is there's lots of forms of negative self-talk. You know, and I think it's really easy to talk about this body image issue because it is so common. But I was really struggling with another form of negative self-talk, which was feeling like I wasn't good enough professionally. At the job that I was working at the time, it was a really hard job. I didn't have a very nurturing boss. I decided to make a career change. And I applied to that to community college at night. Mm-hmm. So, I'm working 40 hours a week, and I'm going to community college at night, and I'm taking these really intense science classes. And I'm sure everybody can relate. Chemistry is very hard for a lot of people.
Yeah, me included.
And it was very hard for me, and I was doing really bad in the class. And, I was totally overwhelmed and overloaded. And, I was doing really, really bad. One of my pet peeves is when people say, oh, I'm failing that class. And they're getting like a B minus. I was doing really, really bad. And one day I got a test back, and the teacher put the test on my desk, and he put it down face down. And it's never a good sign, right? I flipped it over, and I got a 43% for this test that I'd really studied for, and I lost it. I stood up, and I walked out of the classroom, and I went into the bathroom at this community college, and I just started having a meltdown, in front of the mirror, and I think a lot of us do this. We run to the bathroom because that's where we can have a moment to ourselves, and we can kind of lose ourselves. And I remember looking at the bathroom mirror and thinking, all these horrible thoughts about myself. You're so stupid. You're so dumb. You're never going to get into this program. You're wasting so much money. You're wasting so much time. Why can't you just be satisfied with your job? You're so dumb. You're so dumb. You're so dumb. And I don't, to this day, I don't really know what came over me, but I reached into my bag and I pulled out a sheet of paper and I wrote, you are beautiful, on it, and I stuck it on the mirror. Mm-hmm. And I remember kind of looking at that note and being very struck by the fact that I had done that. It was like, well, where did that come from? And, I knew that I had written the note not only for myself, to remind myself that, even though I had a 43% on my chemistry test, I was still a good person and, still a beautiful person. And and all those things. But I, you know, I looked at that note and I realized I had also kind of written it for the next woman who would be in that bathroom. Maybe having a freak out, you know, maybe not. And I pulled out my camera and I took a photo of the note and I went home and I blogged about it on my blog and I asked readers to participate.
Mm-hmm.
And much to my surprise, they actually did. And that was that was about 3 years ago. And, you know, I called it Operation Beautiful after the first note. And its website is operationbeautiful.com. And now every day on the site you can see notes posted from people all over the world who are writing similar notes and leaving them in public places for strangers to find. And it's been a really incredible experience to be part of the movement, and it's really, really fun site.
Oh, Caitlin, that is just what a moving story. I just was almost on the verge of tears here listening to you. And it sounded to me like your soul kind of took over in the bathroom.
I really,
you know?
I don't know what it was. I really would love to go, because, you know, hindsight is like 20/20, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And, you know, like looking back, I'm like, wow, that was such like a big moment, like both in my life and, and it created this thing that has been a big moment in so many other people's lives. And I would just love to go back and be like, well, what are you thinking? You know, like, why are you doing this? And, but it was just something I wanted to do. You know, it was a very genuine and organic thing. It's been really cool to be a part of it.
And just out of that, like you said, look at everything that's blossomed out of that and all the other people that you touched and that also communicated with you, and it sort of brought that community to life that you were craving in the first place, right?
Since I started the site, I've gotten about 10,000 notes. I would say hundreds of thousands have been posted. Most people don't send me the notes they post. And I've received notes from every continent. I've even received a note from the South Pole. Somebody put a note on the actual South Pole. And, you know, I've gotten notes from teenagers in China, from, you know, Marines in Iraq, from people living in South America and, you know, Alaska. And I think that, you know, I've gotten notes in different languages. And I think that really speaks to the fact that I think we all feel like we're very different from one another in this world, you know, very often. But, you know, a lot of the things that we go through, you know, regardless of our age or our gender or our religion or our language, you know, a lot of the things that we go through are very, very similar. And people all over the world can relate to the need to write positive messages for each other and meet them in public places.
And I think there's so many things I love about that. You were talking about the need of it. And also I love the idea of leaving it for someone else, because we are all connected. And I think that is, this was such a turning point. Talk about tipping point, you know, sort of like maybe one of the first tipping points. I mean, it sounds like there are a few there for you, but that was like a kind of a watershed moment. And that sort of, opened up the rest of your, like it opened up a whole new career for you. And it also, again, talk about connection. It's just, you know, I love it when, I think one of the greatest joys for me is when something that I do or say, and it's usually something pretty simple. It's usually not the thing, kind of what you're saying. It's usually not the thing that you think it's going to be, but it's something that's, it can be such a basic human need that we all have, or a basic, you know, a basic feeling or something that can be really simple, and yet it has such profound effects for other people and for ourselves, for that matter, too. And then all of a sudden the whole world opens up and it's like the floodgates open, and and that's where that connection is also. And I think in terms of making the connection between how you feel emotionally and mentally, and then how it affects you physically, and then what can happen out of that, and it just, you know, I think it's so beautiful. And I think this would be an interesting point maybe to discuss a little more. It's the bottom of the hour, and we're going to take a really short break, and then I'm wondering if you'd be open to talking. I know you have another book coming out on this subject that's a little more geared toward the younger audience. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we can definitely talk about that when you return.
Okay, that sounds great, Caitlin. And so we'll be right back here. You're listening to The Wellness Coach on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to The Wellness Coach on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Edie Summers, and my guest today is Caitlin Boyle. Caitlin is a blogger who discovered purpose through battling her own negative self-talk, tired of hearing her own inner voice telling her she wasn't good enough. Blogger Caitlin scribbled, "You are beautiful," on a Post-it, stuck it on the mirror of a public bathroom, took a picture, and posted the photo on her blog. With that action, the Operation Beautiful blog and movement was born. The mission of Operation Beautiful is to post anonymous messages in public places to encourage others with phrases like, "You're good enough the way you are," or "You are strong and awesome." Tens of thousands of Operation Beautiful notes have been posted all over the world in many different languages by people of all ages. One of Caitlin's books that's coming out in December is her second book on Operation Beautiful. It's called Operation Beautiful for Best Friends, which will be released this December. And Caitlin, I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about that book and the focus of that book for your audience.
Sure. So Operation Beautiful for Best Friends is really geared towards the younger girl age group. So it's geared towards about 8 to 14 year olds, and it really tackles topics that are relevant to that age group's holistic health. So the book talks about things like gossiping and bullying and finding your passion and dealing with parents and falling in love maybe for the first time and how to be healthy and how to eat healthy foods, and it all kind of uses OperationBeautiful.com notes to tackle these topics. So there's about 100 notes in the book. The book is designed to kind of look like a scrapbook. And there's 100 notes in the book, and all these notes were either written by children or teenagers or were written by adults who are reflecting on their teen years. And I think it's going to be a really fun and relatable book for that age group. And hopefully inspire, you know, these girls to go out and post their own Operation Beautiful notes.
And sort of keep that wave of positive energy going. And
right.
And I love all the different topics that you cover. It sounds like you're covering in that book. I mean, you're even talking about bullying and, you know, things that are, I mean, kids, it just seems like kids are under so much pressure. It blows my mind, to be honest. I remember it being challenging growing up, but to be honest, I can't even imagine what it would be like. It seems like it's even more challenging these days. And so I think that messages like yours are just that much more important because we've really kind of reached, I mean, you're talking about the tipping point. We've also kind of reached a breaking point, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
Just the way that we treat each other, the way that we treat ourselves, it feels to me like there's this. We've come to a point where we really can go no more. Almost like where you were when you were in the bathroom after receiving your chemistry grade. And believe me, I've been there. I think I had like a D minus in chemistry or something like that. So I can relate.
I think one of the reasons why it's so hard for that age group in particular, you know, I think a lot of adults say like, exactly what you just said. Like, it seems like so much harder now than it did when I was a kid. And I think the reason why it is like that is because of technology. And I think that technology can be a wonderful thing. I mean, obviously, I operate entirely in the technological world. But there's so much technology out there that kids can unfortunately use for negative things and not great things, you know, with phones and texting each other and Facebook. And, you know, all these things are an opportunity to spread rumors and bully and, you know, be mean girl drama in a way that, you know, you and I never experienced. You know, I always think about with the girls that I coach at Girls on the Run, you know, when I was being bullied when I was in middle school, I left and I went home and that was it. It was over. And it sucked when I was at school, but, like, I got to go home and play with my friends at home, and nobody could get me when I was at home. But, you know, with today's technology, I don't think there really is an ending point for a lot of these kids, you know, at all. And I think that one of the great things about sites like Operation Beautiful, and there's so many other sites that promote a positive message, is that, you know, kids get to use technology and their cell phones and their picture messages in a way that is positive.
Positive.
And helpful for each other. And I think that's really a great thing for them to see.
I love that. And also, it's so interesting when you talk about, you know, like that you and I had potential for safe space, like where there, you know, where there was no, you know, we could sort of could have like this cocoon, and that maybe potentially no longer exists. And yet on the flip side of it is that we have to encourage ourselves and also kids growing up today to use that in a positive way, that technology in a positive way. And because the flip side of it is that, I mean, look at what you've done. The flip side is that, and what other people have done, you know, reaching out to each other and sort of creating that positive space and energy. And also something else that really has struck a chord with me a couple times, both in reading your blogs and also what you were saying earlier, is it seems to me that we're talking about it's empowerment here and also strength, in terms of exercise, we're talking about, it's not about being thin, because that is so abstract, honestly. It's just such an abstract concept.
Right.
And, you know, that's something that's been around forever, and it's the more I think about it, the more silly it seems. What does it even mean to be, you know, does that mean to be, I kind of almost associate it with being, you know, you want muscle, you want strength, you want, and that's the same thing for your emotional frame of mind. It's that, it's empowerment, and that's what I see you doing, Caitlin, is empowering women and girls and really everybody to, it's a message of empowerment. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on the ideas of strength and empowerment and positivity.
Well, I think, you know, one of the most interesting things that I've heard about, especially when it comes to diet and exercise, is, you know, why whittle yourself away when you can make yourself stronger? And I think that, I think that's a really interesting concept, because, of course, it's not, of course, I mean, yeah, there's healthy weights, there's unhealthy weights. But I think really what that's talking about is, especially in terms of getting healthy physically, I think it's so easy to fall into the trap of, you know, let me restrict my, you know, my eating, restrict my life, restrict the things I can do, and not thinking about life in terms of, like, what can I add, you know, what can I add to my plate, or what can I add to my life to make me stronger, not to make me smaller, not just weight-wise, but emotionally and you know, like you said, vibrancy. And I think it's a very interesting, you know, we were talking about having that mental shift. And I think it's a really powerful concept, and that's one of the things that's really driven home in the Healthy Tipping Point book is, you know, you can decide how to frame the way you think. And it's very difficult. It's not something you can just change overnight, and it takes a lot of active participation. You know, but you can decide to frame things in the way that you want to frame them. And it can be very powerful to just, it can be very empowering to make that shift.
Absolutely. And I think it is important to make the point that it's something that you do in small steps. I mean, this is something that we talk about in coaching is everybody has this I think we all know ultimately what is healthy and what's not healthy, but it's just a matter of how do we get there. And it's baby steps. It's, you know, when you look at when a child is first learning to walk, you know, that's how they learn. They crawl for a little bit, they get up, but they stand a little bit and they might fall again, and we cheer them on. You know, that's like kind of the one time that we tend to cheer unabashedly, someone else on. And I think that's what we need to be supportive to each other, and also realize that this does take time. And also, this is also kind of what one of your other projects was that you did, is kind of related to this, isn't it? Because it's about the Naked Face Project. Isn't this about getting in touch with your internal beauty and internal strength and relying on that sense of self as opposed to what you look like?
The Naked Face
world.
Project was a really fun project that I just wrapped up at the end of March. And the Naked Face Project was actually the brainchild of myself and Molly Barker, who is actually the founder of that wonderful organization, Girls on the Run.
Yeah.
And Molly is a little older than me. She's 51, and she has two teenagers. So we kind of represented two ends of the adult female spectrum, I guess.
Yes.
And one of the things that we had in common was that we both really preached this message of inner beauty and confidence and beautiful is on the inside, and especially that we preached this message to little girls.
Mm-hmm.
We would do things like wear makeup and dye our hair and wear high heels. And, you know, we inevitably would always have one of the girls ask us, you know, you say that inner beauty is most important, but then you wear makeup. Well, what does that mean? And Molly and I never really had a really good answer for these girls about why we did these things. It's certainly not that we thought that there was anything wrong with makeup or, you know, dressing up or anything, but we didn't know why. We didn't know what our intention behind these actions were. And part of the reasons why we didn't know our intention is because we had always just mindlessly done these things for our whole lives. You know, Molly for 35 years, me for 15 years. So what we decided to do is we decided to go to the beauty desert for 60 days. And the beauty desert entailed, no makeup, no shaving, no primping, none of that at all. We led a very minimalist lifestyle for 60 days. And I know there's some listeners now who are thinking, well, I do that all the time. Molly and I, we designed the project to reflect Molly and my beauty habits. And, we were both women who were raised in the South, who were taught to never go to the grocery store without your face on, fix your face. So this is a very big deal for both of us to give it up, especially the shaving. And
especially the shaving.
But we blogged about our journey at the nakedfaceproject.com, and it was a very, very interesting and illuminating 60 days.
And so what was so illuminating about it? I'm curious.
Well, I really went into the project wanting to know the answer to that question that the girls were asking. So when they say to me, you say inner beauty is the most important thing, but then you do this, why? I wanted a really good answer. And one of the things that I really took away from the project was that before I started the project, I really didn't think that I did any of these things because they were fun. I didn't think I wore makeup because it was fun. I didn't think I dressed up because it was fun. I kind of thought that I did it because I thought that I had to, right, in our society. And one of the things that I took away from the project is that a lot of these things are really fun when you're a girl or a woman.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. I mean, it was great for me to realize that they're fun to do. It's fun to wear jewelry, and it's fun to get your nails painted.
Interesting. And it could be, sorry to interrupt, but it could be a form of self-care, do you think?
Yes, definitely. And that's what it felt like for me a lot. was, you know, I was like, oh, I'm bored, I'm sad, it would be so fun to go get my nails done, you know, and but I couldn't because of the project. But really, and that was great for me to take that away, because like I said, it's not about demonizing these things at all. And it was really great for me to really take away that understanding. But one of the things that I took away from it was that there is a lot of power in the things that we choose to do every day. And I knew that inherently because of how I do feel about healthy living. But I never thought about the things that I did every day that could potentially be negative to my self-esteem. You know, I always thought about it in terms of, you know, I go for a walk every day, and it really reinforces this great habit. But I never thought about what it meant to mindlessly put on makeup every day. And for me, it meant that on the days when I didn't, I felt like there was something wrong with me, right? Because it was the power of something that you do every day.
Yes.
So my, you know, my answer to these girls is that all these female beauty habits can be very fun, and it can be great to do these things, but you really want to be careful about ever feeling like you're not the same person if you don't do them. Because once I gave up all these things for 60 days and I realized that I was the exact same person, you know, regardless of whether or not I had hairy armpits and a unibrow and no makeup on, I was the exact same person, and people largely treated me the exact same way. And, you know, it was very powerful for me to realize that, you know, so many of these things I thought were a crutch or were necessary, and they're really not at all. It's just something that you can add to yourself, but it does not make or break who you are. And you never allow yourself to be tricked into thinking that it does.
Oh, and Caitlin, there's a few really amazing points you made there. First of all, never allow something to make or break who you are. I mean, that's a really powerful statement. And I think that is, you know, because I don't think a lot of us realize that we're actually a lot more resilient than we think we are.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And our souls are a lot more, they're pure, if that makes any sense. And I think we get so caught up in the pressures of and just sort of the whole whirlwind of the, you know, physical life and material life, that it's really easy, I think, to lose track of who we really are. And I love when you say don't let something make or break you, because your roots run deep. And I think, and isn't that, to me, that's what self-care and eating well and exercising is, and I like to call it moving. It's about strengthening my roots, and it's about deepening my roots, you know, for myself and to the earth, and also it's about building that sense of empowerment and sense of self. And again, something else that you said really struck a chord with me is the things that we do every day can be really powerful. I can't remember exactly how you said it, but there's a lot of power in what we do every day, like you were saying. And I think it's really it's something to pause and think about, is, you know, what am I doing every day that's and how is it really talking to my body and myself, my mind and my soul on a really deep level, kind of like how you were when you were in the bathroom. You know, you were maybe you were not realizing until your higher self took over that, you know, you all those things that you were saying to yourself were having an impact on you, and all of a sudden, you know, part of yourself was saying, well, that's just not true, you know, and sort of stepping outside of yourself. And so, and I think it's, so I just think it's a really beautiful message to think about what are we saying to ourselves every day, and what are some of the things that we do every day that either have a positive impact on our lives, or, because it really is like, it's kind of like the road that you go on. You can either go one direction or the other, and, you know, and that's what I love about, I mean, tell me about running, because is that, I'm curious what your experience is of running now. Now that you've been doing, because I mean, you run, is it triathlons? And And also, I know you volunteer.
Triathlons, yeah, and I've done other races. You know, I've done 2 marathons.
Wow.
this is amazing. Years ago, I've been like, no way. But it's you know, for me, really running has just been a really fun way to connect to myself and connect to other people and keep, you know, healthy habits. And it's been a great mental experience too, especially doing triathlons, because I was really afraid of swimming before I started doing triathlons. And
really,
it's been a really big learning experience for myself, just to put myself out there and to try something that I was afraid to do. And I think most people, like 98% of people, can train to run a 5K, and I think it's a really fun experience. You can go online and look up Couch to 5K. It's a really good online plan. There's some introductory training plans in the Healthy Tipping Point book as well. I just think it's a really, really cool way to just see what you can do and what you're capable of. And it's just a great experience. I love it. It's really fun. I can't wait to get back to it.
and I know that you said you are pregnant right now, and which is another whole journey unto itself. And what is that experience like for you? I'm curious if is that too private, or I'm wondering if you could share.
It's been a really kind of really easy pregnancy physically, which has been really great. I have been surprised at how. You know, I have a lot of friends who were pregnant and running until, like, the day they delivered and things like that.
Oh, wow.
It's been a lot harder. That aspect of it has been a lot harder than I thought. I've been staying active through walking and swimming, and it's just been a really fun experience. And it's also been and me and my husband were talking about this yesterday. There's a whole subcategory of body image during pregnancy, right? It's like a whole thing of itself. And we were kind of laughing because, for whatever reason, I've been gaining weight faster than you should on the charts. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't bother me because I eat when I'm hungry and I stop when I'm full. And, you know, I eat really healthy foods and I'm still active. So if I'm gaining weight faster than I should be, according to a chart, like, you know, I kind of figure that this is the way it's supposed to be.
Exactly.
So I don't mind, you know, but I was just saying to my husband, I was like, you know, like, I know that I've gained 30 pounds, but I kind of look at my naked butt in the mirror and I think I still look pretty good. he was laughing. He's like, you have really good body confidence.
I'm sure you're absolutely beautiful, and I think it's so important to not pay attention to those charts and what just go by that, like, that internal, like you said, you're, you know, it's about eating when you're hungry and stopping when you're full, and honoring your body. What does your body need? Mm-hmm. And I think this is one of the things I love. I'm on your Girls on the Run page, this website right now, and I love some of the messages on here. And this is, I've heard some other women talk about, you know, when they're pregnant, sometimes their body image issues may come up again, but I think it sounds to me like it's an opportunity for, because this is what it means to be a woman, and this is one of the experiences that women get to experience, and it's the beauty of life, and you're creating life in you, and I really hope that any young women or any women who are listening today can sort of relate to the positivity and of, you know, the message that you are, all the messages that you're sharing. And I just, some of the things I love that it says here on Girls on the Run, this is girlsontherun.org. The message is inspiring girls to be joyful, healthy, and confident. And we believe that every girl can embrace who she is, can define who she wants to be, can celebrate differences, can rise to any challenge, and can change the world. And I love, you know, that empowering message. And I'm just so grateful for your honesty, Caitlin, and just for all the beautiful things that you're doing. And I'm just so grateful to have you here. And I think this is a really so what is that experience like for you, like in terms of volunteering with these young women, and what is that experience like for you?
I mean, talking about mental and emotional health, you know, I would really encourage anybody to, if they have the time and the schedule, to volunteer, because it's been such an empowering experience for me to really get involved and committed to an organization. It's really cool, actually, because my husband coaches with me. I think we're one of the only husband-wife coaching teams. And it's been really great for our relationship as well to volunteer together.
I love that.
You know, all the girls on the run coaches that I talk to, they all say the same thing, and that's that they kind of feel bad, because sometimes they worry that they're getting that the program is really for them. You know, that's like a joke among the coaches. You know, volunteering makes them feel so good that they feel like, well, maybe this program is secretly for the adults that are volunteering. And I think that's a really powerful thing to say about a program, that the volunteers get so much out of it too. And you know, it's so wonderful, and there's so many different ways to get involved in organizations, you know, out there, and I would just really encourage people to find something that would be a good fit for them. It's been really great.
I couldn't agree with you more. That's been part of my healing journey. Is I started, I just finished advocacy training for domestic violence, and it's been hugely important in my own development and healing process. And I couldn't agree with you more. There's something about volunteering. It's so much bigger than you. It sort of takes you out beyond yourself, but at the same time reminds you of yourself and helps develop your sense of self too. And of course you're also, you never know whose life, what other life you're going to touch. And it's, I think that's the really amazing part of it. And I love, I'm going to read this little excerpt here about Molly Barker, who started Girls on the Run. It says here, during a sunset run in 1993, after years of questioning her self-worth and being defined by others, Molly Barker found the inspiration that grew into Girls on the Run, seeking a way to help girls thrive in a world that often sends them conflicting messages. She began creating a solution that would start with a small program and ultimately become a movement. And, of course, it goes on to describe it in much more great detail than that, but it sounds like it's like a 12-week program, or at least some of the earliest versions were a 12-week program. But it's all about empowering other people and empowering yourself, and that's what I love about your messages, Caitlin. And I just want to remind people of all of your websites. Your blog is healthytippingpoint.com, and also you have operationbeautiful.com, and then there's nakedfaceproject.com.
The Naked Face Project.com.
And that's good that we clarify that, because a lot of people are going to be listening to this on iTunes and in the replays and don't see the show page here. So it's really important to mention that. And then your two books, again, that are coming out, I just want to mention them again. There's Healthy Tipping Point, A Powerful Program for a Stronger, Happier You. That's due out in this May. And Operation Beautiful for Best Friends comes out in December. And also your first book is called Operation Beautiful, Transforming the Way You See Yourself, One Post-it Note at a Time. And is there anything else that you would like to say or share with our listeners today, Caitlin?
No, I think you summed it up so perfectly, Edie. And I just want to say thank you to everybody who listened. And I really appreciate it. And I hope to see you on the internet.
Oh, thank you so much, Caitlin. It was a pleasure and a joy speaking with you. And yes, I hope I see you around. And thank you again so much for being here. And thanks to everyone for listening. And you've been listening to The Wellness Coach on Blog Talk Radio, everybody. I hope you have a really great day. Take care.